staying with Sharad and I on Consider This. Let's continue our conversation about the case against Rappler in the Philippines. The cyber libel case is being viewed as a major test of press freedom. President Rodrigo Duterte has been particularly critical of Rappler, labeling the website as fake news. He's also attacked journalists as spies and warned that they could be targeted for assassination. Joining us on the line now to discuss what this high-profile case represents to the region, we have Ratna Arianti, Southeast Asia Coordinator for the International Federation of Journalists Asia-Pacific. Ratna, thank you so much for joining us this evening. Now, what is the IFJ's position on the Maria Ressa and the Ronaldo Santos conviction?
Okay, first of all, thank you for having me. I hope everyone in Asrawani is doing well amid the pandemic. So IFJ works very closely with our affiliate in the Philippines, the National Union of Journalists of the Philippines, or NUJP, to monitor press freedom in the country. As we quoted from NUJP's statement after the guilty verdict against Maria Ressa and Ronaldo Santos Jr. yesterday, that was a dark day, not only for independent Philippine media, but also for all Filipinos, like all citizens in the country. The verdict basically kills freedom of speech and also freedom of the press. It will have serious implications for democracy. We know that democracy is supported by a fourth pillar, which is journalism. So the case against Ressa and Santos highlights the ongoing use of the rule of law by authoritarian governments to silence the media and trying to hold politicians accountable. We see that the verdict is also part of retaliation from the government of Rodrigo Duterte in its effort to target independent media, in this case Rappler and Ressa, for their critical reporting. We know that Rappler has been covering the deadly war on drugs, which has caused the violent killing of thousands of Filipinos. Since 2018, Rappler and Ressa have faced at least 8 charges by different government agencies, including for tax case and libel. Ressa had to post bail 8 times last year only for just to remain free.
Wow.
So we believe it is clearly politically motivated to silence the critical media, because how come the judges passed the sentence of verdict that guilty for both of them, for both Ressa and Santos, if the cyber libel law had not existed at the time that the article was written in 2012.
Right, I understand that there's some odd ways in which these charges were in fact framed based on a correction that was published in 2014 and so on and so forth. But I want to put that aside. Do you think that the Filipinos, that the Philippines institutions, the judiciary and so on and so forth, will be able to withstand the pressures that are coming from the executive?
Sorry, can you...
Do you think that the institutions, the judiciary in particular, will be able to withstand the political pressures coming from the executive, from Malacanang, from President Duterte?
I think if we see that the pressure is actually coming from also from the international bodies, and then it didn't change the judge's verdict yesterday. I think this orchestrated by Duterte as well. So it's a part of their of his attempts to silence the critical media. We know that he was accusing and attacking journalists multiple times in several years.
Yes. I want to talk a little bit about this cyber libel law in the Philippines and those similar to that in different countries. From a regional perspective right now, have these types of libel laws, including the cyber libel laws, have they been used to silence critics?
Yes, I think in a casual conversation with all the human rights defenders, we assume that the leaders in the countries in the region, probably they have like WhatsApp groups or something like connecting them, because mm-hmm. it seems like they copy each other. Like we have seen the trend to use the libel laws in the different countries in Southeast Asia. Like although all countries are basically stated that they guarantee the freedom of the expression and freedom of the press, but the government seems they find ways to violate our basic rights. If I can give you an example, like in Timor-Leste just last week, the Minister of Justice published a draft law proposing to reintroduce the criminal defamation law. So it will stipulate that any person who publicly states and publishes through social media fact or opinions that may offend the honor, good name, and reputation of a current, and it was shocking, but previous member of the government as well, wow, church official or any public official, they can be prosecuted and punished with up to 3 years in prison. And in Indonesia as well, draconian laws such as the electronic information and transactions, or also known as ITE law, have caused journalists being arrested. Currently, Indonesia has one case of journalist. His name is Diananta Putra Sumedi. He is the former chief editor of local online media, BanjaHits.id. He is in detention for more than a month, so his trial is still ongoing after he published an article on the land dispute. Even though the issue had been taken to the press council, which actually following all the mechanism to solve the dispute regarding the articles published by the press, but still the police prosecuted him, arrested him, wow, and the case is still ongoing and now is in trial. Okay. So we have seen the
So unfortunately, Rana, that's all the time we have, but I want to thank you so much for speaking to us tonight. We appreciate your time and your insights. I'm Melissa Idris.
And I'm Shirai Kutin, signing off for the evening.
Thank you so much for watching this episode of Consider This. Good night.